an agenda for this congregation of something I want to say. And I thought about it when I was asked to conduct this worship service. I thought, what do I want to say? And I found myself, I didn't have as much as other years, other decades to say. But I thought, what have I been interested in and what have I been meaning to study in greater detail? And one of them has been the elements of worship. And one of the things we do at the end of each prayer is we usually say, Amen. And I thought, what does the word Amen mean? And I thought, there is my sermon topic for today. We're going to think about the word Amen. So I invite you, please, to turn to Revelation chapter 22, the very last chapter of the Bible. I want you to think a little bit about how the Bible ends. And we're going to talk about that word Amen today. Revelation chapter 22. It's not hard to find in the Bible. It's way there at the very end, page 1938, or page 1938 in your pew Bible. I invite you to now hear God's word. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things, and when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, 'Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets, and of all who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' Then he told me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let him who hears say, 'Come.' Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen." May God bless to us the reading of this, his word. At the end of our prayers, we always say Amen. And this morning, when we were praying, one of the signs that your prayer was not concluded was I didn't say Amen. We let other people pray. And then by agreement, mutual agreement, I concluded the prayer time, and I said, hear our prayers now in Jesus' name. Amen. This is also the word that concludes the Bible. And I've always wondered what it meant. Why do we say amen? There are lots of ways you can say amen. When I was younger, as a young boy, I can remember having a discussion in our family about whether you said it with amen or amen. My father used to say amen, and my mother used to say amen. So I thought, well, boys are supposed to say amen, and girls are supposed to say amen. And that seemed to make perfect sense to me, so all these years I've said amen, till I ran into some gospel singers who used to sing amen, 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 hallelujah, and they used what I thought was the feminine form. So you can say it amen or amen, it doesn't matter, but I generally tend to say amen. Hymns conclude with it, but in our psalm book we sing only when it is there, and you've just sung three instances of amen. The fourth instance is found in Psalm 41, but I didn't like the tune, and it was new, and I thought, we're not going to go through that today, so we sang three of the psalms with amen. I've already made reference to the gospel chorus, and within exuberant Pentecostal worship, we hear a lot of amens. Amen, brother. Preach on. Amen. Well, what does it mean, and why do we say it? And what are we saying when we say, or even sing, amen? For that, we need to look at Scripture. And we're not going to look at all of the occurrences of amen in the Bible. There is one occurrence. The very first occurrence is found in Moses' time in Numbers 5, verses 11 through 31, and especially 22b. It's a very solemn and serious passage in Numbers 5, because it deals with a very serious home problem. It is when a husband suspects that his wife is being unfaithful to him. And he is instructed to bring her before the priest, and she is supposed to drink bitter water. And if the water starts to harm her, that means she is guilty. And if the water is not harming her, that means she is not guilty. Essentially, what Moses and the law is saying is, let God decide such a hard and difficult question. And after she drinks the water, she is supposed to say, amen. And essentially, so be it. Amen, so be it. We have another very serious and solemn use of the word amen, also in Moses' time. Same part of the Bible. Maybe about 30 or 40 years later, because at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy 27, we have an account of what the Israelites are supposed to do when they come into the land. They're to go to two mountains, which is where Shechem is located today. These are little mountains. These are not big mountains. One is named Mount Gerizim. The other is named Mount Ebal. And in between the two mountains is the city of Shechem. And we're going to read just a little bit of Deuteronomy 27 to show how the word amen is used. This is actually fulfilled later on in the book of Joshua. In Deuteronomy, there is talk about curses and blessings. So in Deuteronomy 27, 9 through 26, we have the following words. Then Moses and the priests, who are Levites, said to all Israel, be silent, O Israel, and listen. You have now become the people of the Lord your God. Obey the Lord your God and follow his commands and decrees that I give you today. On the same day, Moses commanded the people, when you have crossed the Jordan, these tribes shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people. Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And these tribes shall stand on Mount Ebal to pronounce these curses. Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. The Levites shall recite to all the people of Israel in a loud voice. And the Levites were the priestly tribe. First of all, cursed is the man who carves an image or casts an idol, a thing detestable to the Lord, the work of the craftsman's hands, and sets it up in secret. Then all the people shall say, amen. And then you have a series of curses to which all the people are supposed to say amen. I've often wondered where the blessings are, but here we have the curses written down. Cursed is the man who dishonors his father or his mother. Cursed is the man who moves his neighbor's boundary stone. Cursed is the man who leads the blind astray on the road. Cursed is the man who withholds justice from the alien, the fatherless, or the widow. Cursed is the man who sleeps with his father's wife, for he dishonors his father's bed. Cursed is the man who has sexual relations with any animal. Cursed is the man who sleeps with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. Cursed is the man who sleeps with his mother-in-law. Cursed is the man who kills his neighbor secretly. Cursed is the man who accepts a bribe to kill an innocent person. And cursed is the man who does not uphold the words of this law by carrying them out. Then all the people shall say, amen. Every time one of those curses was uttered, the people were all to say, amen. And notice it is the people who are saying this in response to what Moses and God through Moses had said. These two meanings, or these two incidents, get at the meaning of amen. Amen, in some sense, means so be it. And the Middle Eastern Hebrew translation could be translated, may it stand firm, may it be dependable. The people of Israel had become God's people, and God wanted them to confirm his condemnation, not their condemnation, but his condemnation of sin. Amen is a response to what someone else has said. And when you said amen, you are associating yourself with whatever has been said. You brought yourself under the curse of whatever has been said. You brought yourself under the blessing of whatever has been said. And you are asking for God's help to carry out whatever has been said. Another way of saying it is, may it be true. And later on, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, something called the Septuagint, there's your fancy word for today, the Septuagint, translates the Old Testament amen as, it is true. And as I've noted just a minute ago, it concludes each section of the Psalter. Each section, Psalm 42, Psalm 73, Psalm 89, Psalm 106, came to be used liturgically in the worship of Israel, and it concludes with that word, amen. Now, as you look at the New Testament, Jesus uses the word amen in a different way. He alone of all of the speakers of amen in the Bible uses it this way. Nobody else does this. Some of you may remember what I remember, which is the old King James Version of the Bible. And the old King James Version of the Bible, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is where Jesus speaks, you have the words, verily, 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 I say unto you, truly, truly, I say unto you, perhaps might be a more modern English translation. That word verily is the word amen. Only Jesus in the Bible starts out a sentence with amen. Amen, amen, I say unto you. And when the disciples heard that amen twice, especially in the book of John, they were to listen up. We can look at two examples of this. Matthew 5, 17 through 18. And interestingly enough, Matthew 5, 17, all of the synoptic writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all point out that Jesus says it once. Amen, I say unto you. It's lost somewhat in the NIV, but we have these following words in your pew Bibles. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth. There it is. Amen. Until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Amen, I say unto you. Until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. And in John 1:51, we have the first example of Jesus saying Amen twice. John 1:51 has the following words. Jesus said, well, let's start at 49. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that. He then added, I tell you the truth. Amen, amen. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And all throughout the book of John, John records Jesus as saying, Amen, amen, this shall happen. And amen, you should do this. So when the disciples heard amen, they said, Jesus is saying something really important. It's the equivalent of, thus saith the Lord. This is what God is speaking, and he is saying it with utmost authority. No other person in the Bible uses amen, amen, and then says something. Every other person, every other speaker, every other writer in the Bible is responding in some sense to what somebody has said. Jesus does it in a different way. Amen, therefore, affirms what has been said in blessings, in curses, in praises to God, which we call doxologies, in oaths. You swear to tell the whole truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you, God. Amen. There it is. It is, could be put at the end of an oath, at the end of prayer, at the end of a New Testament letter. Several of Paul's letters end with amen. And at a vision of the last judgment. It even became a title of Jesus in Revelation 3 and in Isaiah 65. God is described as the Amen, and Jesus Christ describes himself as the Amen. I am the Amen in Revelation chapter 3. If you say Amen, in our case to a prayer, you are joining the prayer and saying, I will live my life in such a way that the prayer will be fulfilled. Let's turn, therefore, now to the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22. A little bit of background. John the Apostle is, in some sense, what you might call the last of the Mohicans, as far as we can discern. He is the last of the 12 living. The year seems to be about 95 A.D. It's late in the first century. John, by this time, is an old man. He's getting ready to go be with the Lord. He's getting ready to go be in the presence of Jesus Christ. He is on the island of Patmos. He has been exiled there, probably at the hands of the Roman Empire. It's actually said that he got out of Patmos in around 95 to 97 or so. But while he was on Patmos, God gave to him a wonderful revelation, which many Americans, for some reason, love to read and read and read and read and then interpret and read again. You really have to understand, though, Revelation in the light of all of Scripture. Revelation then became John's last gift to the New Testament church. And there are three speakers in this final chapter. John at times speaks. Other times the angel speaks, and at other times Jesus the Christ, Jesus himself speaks. At the beginning of this chapter, we have a wonderful vision of the new heavens and the new earth. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal. Often, sometimes you've gone walking in the woods perhaps and gotten thirsty, and on a hot summer afternoon, you want that water. In the Middle East, you really wanted the water. And here you have this vision of the river of the water of life. This is not just any old water. That's one of the things we try to point out on each July 4th, that while you temporarily may want water on July 4th because it's 95, as I heard this past year, I hope you passed out a lot of water this past July 4th, your thirst will come back again. And Jesus said, I am the water of life. I am the living waters. I give living waters. I am the one who will satisfy your thirst for eternity. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. Thus you have this vision of water coming out of the throne of God and of Jesus Christ the Lamb. And then you have something that we've rarely seen in the Bible since Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. There are two trees back there in Genesis, not just one. We hear about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But there's two trees there in that garden. The other tree is the tree of life. And we were denied access to the tree of life when our forefather Adam and his wife Eve sinned. And now through Christ, having been hung on a tree, having been hung on the cross, gives us access through his work to the tree of life once again. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. This light will be better than Hawaii, where my family was a couple of weeks ago. It will be better than San Diego. It will be better than any light that you can imagine. It will be perfect light. It will not have any sunburn. It will be the presence of the light of God. And the angel said to me in verse 6, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. There are three messages then that pierce this last chapter. And the first one comes in verse 7. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. And then some other things are said by John. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And then you go on to verse 12. Again, we have Jesus speaking. Behold, I am coming soon. And this time there is a warning. My reward is with me. The first time it's a blessing. Verse 7, behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. In verse 12, it is a blessing but also a warning. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life. There it is again, the tree of life. And may go through the gates into the city. But then there is the warning. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. So you have Jesus saying he is coming. He is coming soon. His reward is with him. The reward for those united to Christ is great blessing, immeasurable blessing. The reward for those who reject him is immeasurable curse. And so there you have that warning. The last and third message comes through at the very end of the chapter, in this last chapter of the Bible. He who testifies to these things in verse 20 says, yes, I am coming soon. Three times in the last chapter of the Bible, Jesus warns us, I am coming soon. Now, that was 2,000 years ago almost, and you might think, well, where is he? He hasn't come. Well, my friends, 1,000 years in the Lord is like a flash. He is coming soon, and he gives us his warning in this last chapter of the Bible. And then what is said? He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. And then the Apostle John speaks, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. So be it. It is true. May it be. Jesus is coming soon. You need to be ready for Jesus coming. When you say amen to Jesus is coming soon, you are affirming that you are ready for Jesus to come, that you want him to come, that you look forward to his coming. I don't know how he is going to come. I don't know when he is going to come. I think a lot of what the church in America says about when he is going to come is utter nonsense. He says he will come as a thief in the night. He says he will come when no one expects him. So we shouldn't spend a lot of time trying to figure it out, because only the Father knows, and therefore it's none of our business. But it is a warning here that we are to be ready for his coming. And that warning is then affirmed by the Apostle John with, amen. It is true. May it be. Come, Lord Jesus. And when you say amen, come, Lord Jesus, you are saying, Jesus, I want you to come. I want you to come to restore the curse that occurred in Eden. I want you to come to bring the redemption that you have promised to its finality and to its fullness. I want you to come again, as you promised in the book of Acts, chapter 1. I will come again. And the angel said, in the same way that you saw Jesus ascend into heaven, you shall see Jesus come down on the clouds. The final word of the Bible is, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. And there is the answer if you are not ready to meet Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus is there. It is commended to God's people, and we say amen to it. And here you have, a little bit earlier in this paragraph, the invitation, the command to obey Jesus Christ, to repent of sin. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, there's the image of thirst again. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. The water of life is free. It is a free gift. It is offered to you in this world now. There will come a time when Jesus comes again. It will not be offered in hell. God's grace is here. And when we say amen, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people, we are saying amen to the magnificence of the grace of God. We are saying, so be it, Lord Jesus. May it be true. It is true. Amen. So let it be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us your grace in Christ. We thank you for the words of Scripture. We thank you for this one word, which we so often say. We thank you that we can say, amen, so let it be. And we pray, Lord, that your gospel might go forth from this place, that many people might be able to say, amen, to the grace of God, that they would have heard the Spirit and the bride say, come, and that they did come, and that they would be able to testify in the day of judgment before the throne of Jesus Christ, as he asked them why they should be led into the new heavens and the new earth. I heard the gospel in Ridgefield Park. I heard the grace of God. I heard the Spirit and the bride say, come, and I came. And I said, amen to it. And so we ask, Lord, that you would bless us as we say amen. And we ask that you would hear now our prayers and accept our worship. Bless us this week as we work for you. We commit this day to you. In the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen.